Chi-Chi Mex.
Chi-Chi Mex, huh? They were belly down on the crest of a serpentine-cooled lava flow, watching a party of maybe 20 of the mixed Norm and Mutie Marauders pass by below. Ryan was looking through one side of Fiveax's pair of binoculars. The raiders displayed the same wide spectrum of weaponry they'd seen among their attackers in the abandoned ville, ranging from a stone club in the warded hand of a Mutie, up through bows with crooked arrows and makeshift muskets, to a lever-action carbine or two and at least one AKS. The distribution was sort of a pyramid, with the low-tech weapons predominating. Ryan did see one thing that made his blood run chill inside him and made him glad Mildred had decided to duck for cover in that garage. A human carrying an unmistakable RPG-7, a pre-dark Soviet anti-tank rocket launcher that could pop open the Hummer like a stink bug on a hot iron stove. The scout made a gesture like a slow-motion downward patting of the air, which Ryan took to mean they would wait. The two couldn't really talk, although Fiveax obviously understood at least some spoken English. But they found they understood each other pretty well without speaking. Any communicating that needed to be done seemed to be accomplished with a few compact gestures. Fiveax waited as the afternoon shadows lengthened and the Chi-Chi Mex band passed. Then he slipped backward down the slope, got cautiously to his feet, picking up his rifle. It was a Lee Enfield Mark IV in fairly decent condition, the mark with the peep sight back at the rear of the receiver. It wasn't a finely tuned precision weapon like Ryan's SSG, nor yet a bullet sprayer like JB Zuzi. It was just business, a lightweight, robust bolt gun that went bang when you pulled the trigger and shot pretty much as well as you did out to most conventionally useful ranges. It had a detachable 10-round box magazine. Ryan didn't know whether it still fired the original 303 Brit cartridge it had been designed and built for, or whether it had been rechambered to fire the somewhat more powerful NATO 308. On the whole, it was a blaster, a lot like the man who carried it. The Jaguar Knight made no noise Ryan's keen ears could hear above the breeze, nor had he much disturbed the sparse vegetation where he'd lain. He was like Jack, the sort of man whom Trader might have said barely cast a shadow when he moved. Come to think of it, Ryan reckoned Fiveax would have fit in well with the picked professionals of Trader's caravan, once upon a long-lost time. They moved back to the Hummer, where Jack crouched on top of the roof, looking more like some kind of predatory animal than usual in the buttery late-day sun, with his white hair blowing around his face, and JB was just buttoning his fly from relieving himself among the weeds. Christy was sitting up in the back of the wag, with Mildred helping her drink. Christy saw Ryan and gave him a wan smile. It was obvious she was hurting. He made himself smile back to encourage her, and she lay down out of sight, assisted by the stocky black woman. Fiveax spoke to Doc, who was sitting on the Hummer's wide hood with his back against the windshield and his long, lean legs out in front of him.
He says that should be the last of the Chi-Chi Mex we encounter. They do not like to get too close to the lake, although they have been growing bolder of late. We should be able to reach the city with time to spare before the sunset, which even our redoubtable young friend seems to think is a very good thing indeed.
Fiveax nodded, looking serious, just hovering on the edge of uneasy. Ryan wondered what was abroad at night that would put the wind up a seasoned warrior like that. Perhaps the giant rattler wasn't the only monster in these parts.
Now that's a pretty impressive sight.
They had been catching glimpses of the lake all along. Now they came over a last rise, and here it was. The sun was falling into the jagged mountains, walling the valley to the west. The light was an amber color that seemed to invest everything it touched with richness and with sadness. The shadows seemed to stretch forever. In the near twilight, the water was gunmetal gray. From the middle of it rose a drowned city. Buildings and skyscrapers jutted from the placid water. Some intact soared high into the pale blue and dove-wing gray sky. Others were snapped off stumps, their breakpoints still ragged and fanged with girders. Still others lay toppled, some half-submerged, some more than half, like giant quiescent water worms. Lights were becoming visible among the structures, the nearest still perhaps a mile away across the water. Fiveax guided them around a big hill covered with scrub and woods that rose like a ramp from near the shore into the west toward the mouth of a narrow causeway stretching out to the half-toppled and half-drowned city. The mouth was guarded by a tangle of razor wire and a miniature adobe fort. As the broad-shouldered Hummer rumbled down the path toward the causeway, sentries in the mini-fort swiveled the perforated barrel of a tripod-mounted machine gun to bear on them.
Detén esa aquí. Yo hablaré con ellos para que nos dejen pasar.
He says to stop here. He'll go to talk to them and get us through.
Do that. Ryan didn't doubt the sentries would pass the scout, nor did they seem reflexively hostile, merely cautious. But he knew how easily accidents could happen where loaded and cocked blasters were concerned. 5X popped out of the vehicle, waved his arm, and shouted,
Hola, mis amigos! Las personas que me acompañan son guerreros poderosos y comerciantes del norte.
Hola, Cinco Hacha! Amigo! Es un gusto, mi amigo!
Our youthful friend is explaining to his comrades in arms that we are mighty warriors and traders from the north. As we already gathered from what 5X has said, apparently they have seen our like before from time to time.
I hope the earlier visitors didn't pop out of the volcano the way we did.
Can't be that many people using the Metrans network. We'd run into more of them if there were.
A couple of guards in baggy civilian clothes came out of the mini-fort and dragged the coiling razor tape tangles out of the way with salvaged swimming pool hooks.
Death slinkies.
The others looked at her blankly. 5X seemed eager to get across the water and into the city. Everybody got back in the wag, and Mildred drove it out onto the causeway. The sentries carefully dragged the wire tangles back into place the moment they had passed, then scampered gratefully back inside the thick mud brick walls of their fortification. The causeway was of crushed volcanic rock, black with patches of a deep rust red. Boats skimmed the green water, some with triangular sails turned yellow by the lights fading, some driven by oars, a few showing no external means of propulsion, and hence no doubt driven by some kind of motor. They seemed to all be heading for the city in the lake, in which lights were beginning to glimmer awake.
Light!
Ryan turned to look back toward the sentry tower. A light was shining from its top, blinking rapidly.
Signaling!
From somewhere up ahead in the city, a flicker responded, this clearly from a mirror reflecting the sun's last light.
You folks have some pretty good communications.
Tien...
5X put a halting hand before Doc's face.
I speak a little of your tongue.
Then why the charade, young man? I have truly struggled under the demands of speaking your tongue.
I must learn if we can to trust you.
Fair enough, I assume.
Yes, Wenai, we do. That is how to intercept you when you got out of that ville. Two Arrow himself told us you there, on his talkie. That's why we to use the reflex. Can't listen unless you know the code.
This Don Hector's bunch got commo good as yours?
No, we don't think so. They haven't no sign of having good a system as we do. But they might be holding back.
Ryan nodded, rubbing his chin, which was raspy with late-day growth. The more he saw of this 5X, the better impressed he was. The young scout was able to see beyond that which stared him plainly in the face. Not everybody had that gift. Off to their left, his eye caught a flicker of motion, a dull glint of reflected glow, no brighter than an ember in a nigh-dead campfire.
Whoa! What in the wide, wide world of sports was that?
Pesca.
A fish? A fish? That was one hell of a big fish, boy.
Get a lot of food from lake. Nothing like a good trout steak. Only thing better, a nice slab of fresh, giant axolotl.
Tell me axolotl means something other than I think it means, Doc.
An axolotl is still a large, neotenous form of salamander. A giant axolotl is, one infers, well, an extra-large specimen. I take it that was not the response you hoped for from me, dear doctor?
They eat giant mud puppies here.
Jack smacked his lips.
Go for some right now.
Ryan's stomach rumbled. It had been many wild hours since it had last felt the fall of food.
I'm with you, Jack. I hope the Baron here can spare some chow.
Don Tenorio honor you. Mighty feast. All giant axolotl you want. And also, dragonfly eggs.
Sounds mighty tasty.
I really and truly am in hell.